Now, this is the opening day of an 8-day crusade, and I'm going to spend a little time just kind of getting ready. Can you hear me all right now? Good for you. And I'm going to tell you about a few things that we're going to be doing, because all of this is very, very important to me. When we have a meeting, we call it a campaign, or we call it a crusade. And there are a lot of events that are not just in the evening. They are all day long. That's why I said to Pastor Martin, I want to live up there. And I don't live very far from here, I guess about 17 miles. But I thought we'd waste an awful lot of time going back and forth. So we're going to be in a motel. I haven't seen it yet. I go by faith, Carl. And so after this morning service is over, not this one, but the next one, we'll get placed in our motel, and then we'll have a place where we'll tell you. You may call us and be in contact, because as an evangelist, I want to live in this area, be here all week long. Now you say, well, why is that? Well, one thing, tonight, late tonight, we're going to have a dear friend of mine. Now, if you all got a bulletin, suppose you take it right now. It's very important. And I like your theme, and it is harvest time. And we're going to have a very wonderful time at this time. But Sunday night, way down at the bottom of page 2, you'll find that we come to the end of the services here. And then one of the first special events will be tonight after the evening service. Now let me tell you about this fellow. His name is Dr., don't let that scare you, Dr. Gary Harlow. And young people, some of you are going to turn up your nose now. He is a specialist in mathematics. He earned his Ph.D. degree from Cornell University in math. Can you imagine that? And he lives right over here in near Allentown. And he often helps Jack Murray in lifestyle evangelism meetings. So he's coming, because there's one thing we do tonight that we'll only do once, and that's youth wants to know. Everybody say those words with me. Youth. Now, most of the time we do this later on in the crusade, but we're doing it after the first day this time. And we're interested in young people. This is not exactly a children's meeting. That's taken care of by somebody else. These are young people who think, and they have questions. And here you're going to meet tonight a fellow who... They gave him all he needed to do to get his Ph.D., and I believe he came back in 3 months with it all completed. Hey, they say, you can't do that. That's too hard. You can't do that. So they gave him another one, which is supposed to take several years, and he came back in less than 2 years with that one all written out. So he's a specialist in math, and he teaches at Lehigh University. So he'll be here tonight. Now, if you know some young people, be sure to get them here tonight and hear Gary Harlow. Now, I'll be around, but I won't be saying much. I'm too dumb. When it comes to mathematics, why, I just barely made it when I went to school. But Gary really knows his stuff. And maybe he'll bring his wife, but I think not, because they had sickness in their home. But she's just about as good in mathematics as he is. But Gary Harlow will be here tonight for the young people, and you will have opportunity to pop your questions. Let me just tell you this. I did this one time with another one of my Ph.D. friends, and I walked away from that meeting with the pastor, and I said, Pastor, what did you think? What's your evaluation of what we did? He looked at me and he said, Jack, I don't believe my young people have ever spent a better hour in all my ministry. Amen? Well, that's the way Gary comes across, and you will enjoy him. Now, let me say a word about the coffee hours. How many of you actually know what a coffee hour is? May I see your hands? To most of you, it's stopping down here at Burger King or somewhere else and getting a cup of coffee or Dunkin' Donuts or whatever you have around here. But we've been doing coffee hours for many, many years. And you'll notice that in your schedule, there are four of them scheduled. Monday morning, Tuesday morning, I believe it's Thursday morning, and Friday morning. Now, this is a very, very informal time. It is not another preaching service for this man. And my coffee hours have a lot of, may I use a word? Maybe you don't know what it means. Freebies. I give things away at the coffee hours. And you'll see in the schedule that, and I want to meet, by the way, Pastor, I want to meet the people who are going to be the hostesses of the coffee hour sometime. Because there's a way to conduct a coffee hour that's very, very important. And I want to tell these ladies, I'm assuming that they're ladies, that doesn't mean that a coffee hour is just for ladies, but it's mainly for ladies. And if some of you fellows are on shift work and you'd like to get in on a little special, I believe we can work it out. And if you don't mind being in a meeting with a bunch of angels. So there you are. That's what it's going to be. But I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the coffee hour because in the first half hour, we just gab and drink coffee. And we get acquainted. I get acquainted with everybody, and I'll introduce the Queen to everybody. If there happens to be a piano in the place where we have a coffee hour, we'll put the Queen to work, too, with her piano. If there doesn't happen to be a piano there, then we won't do it. We'll do something else. Then I have a very brief word that I speak, and then we have a little prayer, and we're all through. It only lasts about 1 hour. And if you're a Christian, young lady, and you want somebody to be exposed to the gospel, by all means, get them to a coffee hour. I came down from the platform at Limerick Chapel, where I held a crusade many years ago, and a lady walked up to me and she said, "Do you remember me?" I looked at her and I couldn't remember her. I have a poor memory anyway. And so I said, "Who are you?" "Well," she said, "I attended one of your coffee hours." And she said, "The longer you conducted that coffee hour, the more angry I got." But then she looked up at me and smiled and she says, "But you got me. I know the Lord now." But I didn't know the Lord then. Now that's how important it is to have a coffee hour. And so we're going to be busy. Those meetings are just as important to me as even the evening meetings. We put a kind of a halo over the evening meetings as the meeting of the day. It may not be. Some of the greatest things that happen may happen in the coffee hour. Then on Saturday morning, we're going to have a men's breakfast. I visited last weekend, my favorite men's breakfast speaker. He's a roofer. Now, he used to weigh between 300 and 400 pounds. And so he said, "No, I'm not a roofer, I'm a roof tester." So that's right. But anyway, Bob Dean, one of the members of my board, has been used of God in a marvelous way. And we had lunch just about a week ago, and we reviewed some of the wonderful things that happened at the men's breakfast. In his town, we challenged all the law enforcement officers of the area to come, and we had a great crowd, and God blessed us. Now, that's on Saturday morning. And then Saturday night, we're going to have a musical concert. And some of you folks probably will get no's when you invite people to come to a regular preaching service, but they love to hear good music. Now, you just duplicate what you hear in the mixed quartet all during this week, and you'll find out what's going to happen. We had a wonderful crowd last night. I don't know where they all came from, but everybody that said they couldn't come, most of them appeared, and we had a great concert with one of the friends of your pastor. In fact, your pastor told me that he was largely responsible for getting that man to that church over in the Church of the Open Bible in Camden. And we had a marvelous thing, and he's doing a real good job over there. So that will be Saturday night, and then we'll wind out on Sunday. Now, please know me to be one who can be approached, and I have dealt with people on the telephone. I have arranged interviews with people at my motel or hotel or wherever I could be. We're here to help you spiritually. And I'm glad I've got the best woman's worker in the world with me. She not only plays the piano and the organ, but she can also talk to women about the Lord. And she loves to do it by telephone. She's counseling with people all the time. Now, if you have questions about the activities of this week, please be in touch with us, and we'll tell you exactly what they are and what the blessing of the Lord will be in such good times. And you're going to come to the end of the week, and you're going to say, well, my, that week went pretty fast. Now, out on your literature table, you'll see a very bright orange magazine. This magazine is put out by my youngest son. He is the general director of the Bible Christian Union. They have 240 missionaries. Most of them are in Europe, but a good many of them here are stateside doing a particular work among boys and girls. Last night, while I was conducting that musical service over in Camden, two of their workers were in the basement in another part of the church, and they were conducting a junior missionary conference. Well, if you would know, like to know, an organization that's doing a great job of planting churches, pick up one of these. And there's a dozen of them out there on the hallway table, and you'll find it to be very good reading. Now, I'm going to ask you something else. This is a Bible Fellowship Church. How many of you folks are planning to be at the Bible Fellowship group meeting for their spring banquet on Saturday night, May the 2nd. Anybody? What's that?
You didn't say Pinebrook.
I'm going to. Yeah. Pinebrook Bible Conference, which is the Bible Fellowship Conference. And Toman has contacted me, and I'm going to be the speaker for that night. And we're going to have a great time. In fact, I like it up at Pinebrook so well that I'm not only going to speak on Saturday night, May the 2nd, but I've asked Toman to provide quarters for me because I'd like to stay over Saturday night and Sunday night, because on Monday we go over to a place called Tuscarora where all of the missionaries of this organization will be meeting for a prayer week. And I will be speaking all through that week, Monday through Thursday, at Tuscarora. So I'm going to be spending a little time in the mountains a little bit later. I hope it gets a little warmer than it is now. But if, you know, it would be a wonderful thing if on Saturday night, May the 2nd, I could see a number of people from Spring City at that banquet. We'd have a great time together. So if it isn't already on your calendar, get it there. I know that you have all the Pinebrook lineup, and it's a great lineup for this year. Plan to come a little early, May the 2nd, and join with us, and we're certainly going to have a good time. Now, I'm sorry to take that much time in making announcements, but I just want you to know that activity is going to be intense during this week. My office is only 17 miles away from here, but I'm going to do most of it by telephone. I want to be of help to every single one of you. Now, we're going to start this crusade by taking your Bibles and opening with me to a book called 1 Thessalonians, please. First Thessalonians. Some of you may have the idea that Jack Murray is going to come and conduct a service, and he has all the secrets of revival and evangelism in his briefcase. Now I want you to know that's not true. I came here to lead you in a campaign. We were here a few months ago and we did our lifestyle videos. And from what I hear, there has been a great deal of activity around this church since that time, and I'm very, very happy for it. But I want to begin with that note this morning. And I want you to be very excited about the privilege of helping somebody know the Lord. Eleanor was at the organ last night, and a lady walked up, and she gripped my hand, and she said, "You remember me, don't you?" I honestly had to say no. I see thousands of people in many, many places. And I said, "I'm sorry, I don't remember you." "Oh," she said, "you had a crusade in the First Baptist Church of Florence, New Jersey. And I was walking away from the Lord." And she said, "That night, because of the invitation of a friend, I got things squared away and began living for the Lord." Well, how do you suppose that made me feel? Well, I was so happy that if they'd have cut my suspenders, I'd gone straight to heaven. That's what would have happened. I was filled with joy. Now, that's what every single one of us need. We need to be rejoicing in the fact that we have the privilege of sharing Christ with somebody else. That doesn't mean the evangelist is going to do it all, or the pastor is going to do it all, or the assistant pastor, or anybody else. I want you to get involved in these things. That's why I've got you turned to 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to read a little bit, then I'm going to do some comment for our brief message this morning. Now I'm reading from probably a Bible that is a little different than your text. Not that I say this is the only version, not at all. Because I have it on the platform tonight, simply because the company, the Nelson Company that publishes it, sent me one free. So I'm using it, and it's called the New King James Version. And so I read, that's what I'm reading from. Here we go. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God and Father, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Now, usually I'm preaching out of 1 and 2 Thessalonians when I'm doing a prophetic series. And this is the primer of all prophetic truth. Most of you, when you think of a book in the Old Testament that has to do with future things, or eschatology, or prophecy, you think of the word of Daniel. And you're right. And when you think of a New Testament book, it is that great book of the Revelation. But the primer for it all in the New Testament is 1 Thessalonians. But I'm not dealing with that today. I'm talking to you about a church that not only were sharp as far as their view was concerned of future things, they were a church doing a job for Christ. And 50 years ago, I was a student in seminary. And I had to travel out of Wilmington, Delaware, where the seminary was. Both of us had to take a bus down to the center of Wilmington. Then we had to transfer to another bus from the center of Wilmington to the old Pennsville Ferry. Then we had to get in and on the ferry. And on the other side of the Delaware River, there was a pickup truck. And they picked us up. This was 50 years ago. And we drove all the way from there over to Vineland, New Jersey. And we spent the first half hour sweeping up all the cigarette butts and all of the beer bottles and everything else that was the activity in that Veterans of Foreign War Hall the night before. We'd open all the windows and get some fresh air. First number that met me were 18 people. But God worked in such a marvelous way because everybody in that church was a working church. Five full families of that Chinese church went into full-time Christian service. That's the way I like it. I know I lose membership that way, but that's the way to lose membership. Get them in the Lord's work. Now I'm here, there are some advantages of being old, you know. Now this year, 1987, 50 years ago, I founded that church which was known as Faith Bible Church. They're having their 50th anniversary, and their 50th anniversary banquet will be Saturday night, October 24th. And then I will be preaching on Sunday morning as their founding pastor on the next morning, Sunday. And you know, that church is just going. They have hundreds of people. I believe it's the most significant church in all South Jersey right now. But it was begun with people like you. No pastor can do this. We've got to be known here at Faith Bible Fellowship Church as a going, growing, glowing church in reaching people for Christ. And I have many of them. God willing, I'm praying right now about going to Singapore. Why? Because out in Singapore, they're doing the same thing. They've just enlarged their main church to 1,500. And they have 56 other churches started. All the way up in Malaysia, all the way down to Australia, over in the Philippines, and even into Burma. But it's because the people of the church have a burden. So that's what I'm talking about now. Not prophecy. I could well do that. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes about these folks in Thessalonica. Drop your eyes now. First of all, in verse 5, I finished reading in verse 4, the evangelistic party of Timothy and Silas described themselves. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. And you know what kind of men we were among you for your sakes. Now he's going to describe the people in an infant church in the first century. Thessalonica was a pool of sin. And these three came into Thessalonica and people began to get saved. And they began to live for the Lord. And I'm going to let the word itself tell you how they were doing. Look at it now, verse 6. You became followers of us. Now, if it stopped there, it'd be too bad. We don't want you to be followers of us only. I don't think of it as that way. Of course, Eleanor will be demonstrating Christ, and the quartet will be, but there's something more than that. Notice what Paul says. He said, you became followers of us and of the Lord. Everybody say those four words for me. And what in the world's use of following Jack Murray if Jack Murray is not following the Lord? What's the use of listening to Silas if he's not following the Lord? What good is a Timothy if Timothy's not following the Lord? What a compliment. You followed us because we were following the Lord. Now that's the greatest way to do it. Or you may pick out some Sunday school teacher, and you may pick out some officer of the church and begin following them, but watch out. Watch out. Be sure they are following the Lord. That makes it right. I'm not preaching against following people. I'm preaching about following the right people because they're following the Lord. Some night I'll give you an illustration of that and demonstration of it. But notice what he says. Having received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, folks, that sounds like a contradiction. Most of you would say this. If I'm having affliction, I'm lacking in joy. Or if I'm exuberant and full of joy, I must not have much affliction. No, that's a wrong concept of Christian living. The believers who are having the greatest rejoicing and the greatest joy are the people who are suffering affliction. I'll give you a little story. I was in Chester, Pennsylvania years ago. That was a church I helped to start right after the one in Vineland, New Jersey. And I was holding a meeting, boys and girls, I was holding a meeting in one of the hospitals. The place had a terrible name. Imagine being wheeled into a hospital, and right over the gate, there was a sign over Emberger's church last night. I liked it. As they walked out the entrance going out that night, it says, you are now going into your mission field. Amen. Amen. But you know, I'm talking about reading a sign over a hospital. And imagine being wheeled in. And what does it say above the door? The Crozier Hospital for Incurables. Wow, I think I'd tell the guy to wheel me in the other direction. Who wants to be wheeled into an incurable institution? But here I was conducting in one of the main halls, conducting a service. And a lady came along and she said, somebody is here who knows you, and she'd like to have you stop in her room before you go. Well, I said, I don't know anybody in this hospital. Well, they said, they know you. So I went down to a room, a corner room, and I was introduced to her as Miss Sunshine. I didn't know her. But when I approached her bed, I saw that her arms were all doubled up with arthritis. In fact, those wrists were just as shiny as they could be. She was terribly crippled in her whole body. But she had the sweetest smile on her face. Oh, she says, I know you. Then she took out a stick. And she had one of these little radios about that big. And she could, with those arthritic fingers, manipulate that stick and turn the dials so that she could get her favorite speakers. She says, this is the way I listen to you. I listen to you all the time. You know how I began to feel? I said, I don't need to minister to this woman. I believe she's ministering to me. Then she looked up at me and she said, "You know, when they wheeled me into this place 25 years ago, I didn't want to come." But she said, "God has made this place such a marvelous place that I'd be extremely unhappy if anybody would try to take me out of here." Man, she looked like it, Jenny. She rejoiced. I walked out of there kicking myself. What have you got to complain with? What have you got to gripe about? Here is one who is in affliction and that joy. That's the kind of believers Paul and Silas and Timothy turned out. Now, what did they do? I'll give you three words and then we've got to be through. Verse number 7. So that you became, what's the word? Examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. I'm reading on. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Literally it means has trumpeted forth. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith toward God has gone out so that we do not need to say anything. Let me try to put it in a little outline for you and then we'll be through. Word number 1, example. What does that speak of? What you are. As a believer in Christ, this is your first instrument of influencing somebody else. Being an example as a Christian. Your very presence speaks even before you say a word. But they didn't stop then. The next word is the word extension. They didn't just become Christians and rejoiced in one another. They moved out. And if you'll do a little geography with me, you'll find that Macedonia and Achaia was quite an area. And they were being examples to other people. That's what we call extension. Example, extension. And then the word says, they sounded out the word of God in every place. So that Paul had to say, there's nothing more for me to say. You've already done it. Now that's what I want known in this church. I read a good friend, I preached in Montevideo, Uruguay, many, many years ago. That was almost 30 years ago. And I've been reading of a man down there ever since. I wish he was here this morning. I'd get off the platform and let Shalo speak. But every time we get one of the evangelical bulletins from Montevideo, you read a little bit about Shalo. There are 21 provinces in Uruguay. Over the years, and it's taken many years, it's taken more than 20 years, he has visited every single home in Uruguay. Example, extension, expression. Presence, what you are. Portrayal, how you move out. And proclamation, what you say. I trust that I may lay this burden upon your heart even as we begin this crusade. Let's bow for prayer. Lord, we love you with all of our hearts. And we thank you for the privilege of being invited to Faith Bible Fellowship Church in Spring City. And oh God, I've been talking to the Lord's people this morning in Sunday school. But Lord, I want every blood-bought child of God in this congregation during this week to live a life of example, to live a life of extension, reaching to others who do not know Christ, and then a life of expression where the clarity of the gospel, as the little song we sang this morning, go and tell the message. Grant, Lord, that it may be true. Now, just before we close our Sunday school hour and our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, is there a deep, deep longing in your heart to be an example and to be used of the Lord during this week? And you'd like this evangelist to pray for you. I don't care whether you're a boy or a girl, young person or an older person. I don't care who you are. If deep down in your heart right now there is a desire, my greatest need, you're saying, is to be able to help someone else spiritually. Why don't you just lift your hand right now? God bless you. I'm so glad. Let's make it that kind of a week as we seek to help. Oh, people are hurting all around us. God help us to reach them for Christ. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Now that concludes the Sunday School Hour. You'll be hearing the mixed quartet singing again, and you are dismissed at this moment.